this may be our last chance to provide the means of saving civilization from annihilation.
There's much we can learn from each other.
One of those moments in history.
We are all together out on the internet.
Can there be a peace between us?
You were an eyewitness.
The people who grew up with the technology.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
A worldwide broadcasting system.
This is for you, for my boy.
Please keep in touch.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Neil Haley Show's Total Celebrity segment. I'm excited to welcome the program Aramirit and Bali of Family Karma. Guys, thanks for calling. How are you?
Good. Excited, David. Yeah. How are you?
Yeah, we're excited to chat. I'm excited to talk to you guys, especially because you got to be excited about March 8th, aren't you? Aren't you? Really excited about the debut.
Absolutely. It's exciting. Nervous a little bit.
So let's first question for Bali. Tell me a little bit specifically enough about you deciding to do this show. Like, what was your thought process of a reality television show? And now that your life is going to be no longer a public, it's going to be not a private life, but a public life.
Well, I mean, you know, none of us are wallflowers, so definitely didn't do that to not be the public eye. It was exciting for me to have an opportunity at my age and with my backstory to be able to share something exciting and new to our culture and our community that's never been showcased before with my friends that I've grown up with. Obviously, I never imagined that I'd be able to be on this platform, you know, a few years ago, and being that we're the first full Indian cast in American television, I wanted to be part of something that big, that important. And in raising a young daughter and a young lady, I wanted her to also know that, you know, like, the world is your oyster. There's always space for you and your voice.
It's not like it used to be where there's only three different channels to go viral of your certain athlete or entertainer. Things are different now. There's so many different platforms. There's so many places to become something of an influencer. Isn't that right, Aramirit? That it's not just one thing. You can find some platform to change your life and transform it and make a difference.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And part of me why I wanted to do this was, unfortunately, you don't see a lot of South Asian LGBT, of course, as you'll see in the show. I came out in my mid-20s, and I personally didn't know any gay men or LGBT folks. So I wish I would have had someone, not only, I mean, to have someone on TV is fantastic. I wish I had someone that I just knew on a personal level. And I just want to be a voice. I want people to be able to relate if they're dealing with the same sort of issues of sexual orientation and gender identity. I want them to see this and hopefully think, wow, I can do this and it's going to be okay.
Be that voice, and I think that's what you both see in this show. What should we expect, Bali, that's going to be surprising for us, especially with your lives and also intertwining that with tradition?
I think the biggest element of surprise, hopefully for the viewers, will be to see how closely connected we are to our families, in not just the traditional sense, but even in the modern sense. You know, we all have all grown up in this really young, dynamic city of Miami, and as much as our parents and our families have tried to preserve the culture, they also have embraced how modern and worldly and what a melting pot Miami is. So I think it's going to be really fun and surprising to see our dynamic and our relationships with our families.
What are you concerned about from filming Amrit that's going to come out? You're going to be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did this, without saying. Like, what are your feelings when you start finally see it air for the first time, and then you're like, oh my gosh, did I really do that?
Yeah, I mean, so truthfully, being yourself, maybe we all have this vision of ourselves in our head, the way we look, the way we sound, and then you kind of see it, and you're like, wow, that's what I really look like, that's what I sound like. But in terms of, to answer your question, what am I worried about saying? I think just being vulnerable on TV, you know, and really expressing true emotion, because, yeah, this is us, you know, this is our lives, and these are our personalities, and maybe seeing how you look on the outside, this is going to give us an opportunity to see how you really look on the outside versus how we envision ourselves on the inside.
Same question for you, Bali. What would you say?
Well, I mean, outside of exactly what Amrit said, like physically, like I'm sure I'll be cringing at some of my outfit choices and some of the things that came out of my mouth after a few cocktails. But for the most part, I'm hopeful that whether an episode or a storyline or a reaction is relatable to the viewer or not, the general receiving of our product and our show is that people realize that it really is a challenge to put yourself out there and to share your story and to be real and stay authentic. You know, it really is something that what you're really never ever ready to do on this kind of platform, but we've done it, and I hope that's appreciated.
Well, fantastic, guys. Everyone needs to tune in March 8th, 9 p.m. Eastern to, again, Family Karma. Guys, thanks for calling. Best of luck, and look forward to checking out the show. Take care, guys.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Take care. All right, bye-bye. You'll listen to Neil Haley's show, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Welcome to Safety Talk. Personal safety expert Pete Canavan shares his insights and interviews experts who provide simple and effective tips, techniques, and technologies to keep you safe and secure both online and off. Here's Pete.
Hello and welcome to Safety Talk. I am your host and personal safety expert, Pete Canavan. I bring over 25 years of personal safety and security experience to my role as the host of this show. As a cybersecurity consultant and martial arts master, I educate, teach, and train others through speaking, consulting, workshops, online courses, as well as self-defense classes. And we do that for corporations, colleges, and conferences. You can always learn more at my personal website, PeteCanavan.com. Safety Talk, you know, we discuss and bring attention to a wide range of personal safety and security solutions that are available to both businesses and individuals, and cover the digital world and the physical world. So we've got another valuable and informative episode for you guys today. So thanks for listening. Today's guest is someone with valuable insights into how to talk to our kids about technology and social media and the various digital devices that our children just can't live without, right? She's the mother of three school-age children, 11, 13, and 15. And so decisions around technology, you know, use is something that she's dealing with every day. And I can relate to that because I've got three boys that are just a little bit older than that, 15, 18, and 20, and they just can't live without their smartphones and their gaming devices. You know, that's just the generation we live in today. Now, our guest believes that educating kids and openly discussing the good and the risks associated with digital devices and the internet is necessary because that has, you know, the purpose of building resilience, which is needed today. You know, everybody's out there posting a lot of things. It's easy to, you know, be offended or have your feathers ruffled by somebody posting something out there. And so, you know, I 100% agree with that we've got to educate our kids. We've got to discuss with them both the good and the bad that technology can bring to them. So our guest is a digital family expert at Custodio, which is a global leader in digital safety and well-being for kids and families. And, you know, as you know, as parents who have to navigate raising children in our digital age, it really becomes increasingly more difficult to censor and monitor our kids' online activity. You know, we can't be there all the time. We can't be with them every minute that they're doing stuff online. So get ready to learn some tips and some tricks that parents can use when approaching that digital wellness with their children and how to also create a healthy and a trustworthy relationship with kids about the importance of their online activity and digital habits. And so it's my pleasure to welcome digital family expert Teresa DeSuyo from Custodio to Safety Talk. Welcome, Teresa. Thanks for being on.
Thank you, Pete, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's a great thing that what Custodio is doing and that what you're doing to help parents raise children in this digital world, because it is consuming our children's and our, you know, lives to a large extent now, right? So navigating this potentially tricky and, you know, sometimes dangerous landscape it's vitally important if we're to keep our kids safe from harm, because we see online threats can turn into offline threats. You know, you have cyber stalking can turn into regular stalking. You have other things that, like cyberbullying, which can start online and can lead to offline bullying. And so these things are related, and sometimes, you know, a problem can begin in an online environment and then transition to offline or vice versa. So it's very important that we have our children and our kids understand what those threats look like. And of course, you know, as you know, with teenagers, right, it can be tough dealing with teenagers that, quote, know everything, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's very tricky in today's world because we're constantly connected. Our own children are trying to compete for our attention. They see what we do in this ever-connected world that we're using technology for work, for a home, being productive, and we try to express to our children that we're using it for work, but those excuses can only go so far, and they model what they see. They see us online and not necessarily consider what might be dangerous or not, because if their parents are online, why shouldn't they be online? So what we do is certainly mirrored by them. So we have to be extremely aware of what's called technoference. This is a reality that we live in, and that means technology is competing, or children are competing with technology to gain our attention.
Sure.
So I
pulled up the website here. Yeah. So people that are listening, you know, have a chance, they can pull that up. We'll have the site in the notes, but it's Custodio, with a very interesting spelling, QUSTODIO.com. So they can check that out, because it has some information and some resources that parents can use, because, you know, it's all about how do we keep our kids safe. And as parents that are seeing our children go, you know, really almost be raised to a certain extent by technology and the interactivity that they have with their friends and their peers is good and it's bad, right? Because they learn a lot, they see a lot, they interact a lot, but yet the information can really move at a very, very rapid pace, and they sometimes don't understand the ramifications of some of the things that they do, some of the things they say, some of the things that they post, right? I mean, that's the whole kind of umbrella of digital wellness, correct?
That's right. So they're not really aware of everything that do. In terms of digital wellness, what it really means is developing healthy habits with technology. It's understanding how much time we spend and how that time is spent online. And there are three main things that parents, adults in a child's life should be aware of. It's, first of all, acknowledging and being aware of how much time one spends online. Your self-awareness is key, and being able to transmit that to children makes that a more credible discussion with them. The second would be to be able to distinguish between active use and sedentary or passive use of technology. Am I simply there because I'm filling idle time, or do I actually need to be there? And the last would be appreciating the balance between online.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shake-up to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyrus Mission USA.
Cyber Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcasters' features, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts, Cyber Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Online life and real life. So in terms of digital wellness, it's important for adults to behave in that way so that children can then practice the same habits as their parents do. And you mentioned, you know, what we do online, what we post. You might be referring to what we call a digital footprint or the identity or my profile that I'm creating online for myself. Both adults and parents, as they post and they share images of themselves online, are really leaving a lasting image of themselves. And children should be aware of what that means. Before allowing kids to use technology, I would encourage that parents first show them examples of other kids that are online of the same age.
So why is it so important that they understand that? Because of the long-term ramifications? Because I think the term digital footprint is very good, because it describes, just like, you know, you've got a footprint in the sand where you walk by and, you know, the footprints are still there, but when the ocean comes and washes it away, it's gone. But online, that footprint never goes away. It's there forever. So people can always go back and look for those footprints to see, you know, what it is that people do, you know, what are their habits. And these can all present risks to safety and security and, you know, everything at some point potentially in the future.
No, precisely. I mean, when children first get online, engage in social networks, which is really fun, and entering chats, connecting with people that they care about, get to meet new people, have this diverse type of conversation, but it's in that context of fun. So there could be banter, different types of language, and that stays there. And to your point, that is a footprint that may, offline, it could wash away, but online, that stays there forever. So as they grow up and develop a sense of really what that means, as they become mature and become more self-aware, they might realize, wow, what I put when I was 10 years old or 11 years old builds my character, my profile that professionally might have an impact, or when they're applying for schools and when colleges might do some searching about what this person is really about, to have a more well-rounded image of this person that they may or may not accept into their college. So it's important to be aware and have their eyes open to that potential of other people accessing the profiles down the line.
Sure, because in you know, the kids of today, even those in high school and college, don't, I think about how some of the things that they're posting and some of the things that they're saying could be interpreted or misinterpreted by a potential employer or by someone that is considering maybe dating them or whatever it happens to be. And so these kind of breadcrumbs or these footprints that you leave in your digital life, you know, throughout social media and anywhere else that you happen to be, you know, whether you're posting online or other places, it builds that sort of picture of you and your beliefs and your sort of feelings and your morals or lack of them. And so these are things that are all important, but, you know, with little kids, if we start young, and that's what I really like what you're doing here with Custodio is you're starting this at a very, you know, at a young age to get children to understand. So obviously it's difficult, you know, you are a parent of teenagers. I'm a parent of teenagers. It's difficult to parent in the digital age. Why is that, would you say?
So Pete, just a slight correction. I have a 6-year-old, an 11-year-old, and a 13-year-old. So I have a teenager, okay, a preteen, and a little one, and I have to educate all of them in different ways. This makes my job a lot more interesting because a 6-year-old is a digital native through and through. The 13-year-old, what makes it slightly easier is that we've grown or evolved at a similar pace with technology. With teenagers, it is more challenging because their friends are there and they come back home and say, well, everybody has a phone, everybody is online, everybody has an account. That may or may not be true. That certainly comes from my 11-year-old much more than it does come from my 13-year-old. But the feeling or sense of not being including, being excluded, being out of the conversation impacts teenagers. If that impacted us when we were teenagers, imagine now with social media where information is just the speed at which these messages reach kids and them being in the know is so important. That's just part of who teenagers are, with or with technology, and with technology that has become a lot more important to be in the know. And at the speed.
It's tough because the internet can be a dangerous place. And as parents, you know, we can't control everything. And that's not an environment like our home where we can control it. Like when the kids are growing up and, you know, we can make sure that there aren't any sharp corners and we can make sure that the cabinets are locked and they can't get into the chemicals or the alcohol or whatever it happens to be. So we have more of a controlled environment in our own homes, but out in the wild west of the internet, I guess you could say. And then of course you got the whole dark web aspect of it. It's difficult, I think, for families to even get a grip on the various threats that exist. And so it's something that's imperative. It's something that we do to the best of our abilities. But what would you say are some things that maybe families can do to make the internet a safer place? Because as an IT guy myself, I know that I've been able to do certain things to restrict access at the router level. Well, not everybody may be savvy enough or technical enough to do that. So what are some things that you suggest that families do to try to make the internet a safer place for your children?
Sure. The first is it's never too early to have a conversation with your children about being online. They will be online, whether that's at school, whether they see other kids on the school bus taking out their smartphone. So whether they have that access immediately or not, it's important to have that conversation with children about the power of the internet, the good and the bad. Like you said before, it's good and bad. But the first three things before you put a device in a child's hands are setting the ground rules. Talk to your kids about what it means to be online before giving that access or device. They need to know the rules of the road before driving. I would never give my kids the keys before they have a license or before they turn 16 without a permit. I certainly wouldn't put my baby into the deep end alone. And there's that important role of the parent today to be a guide, because that information online is so complex. It can take different shapes and forms because of the people and entities, companies, organizations that are publishing images, videos, text, being resources that are credible or not. And that's in constant evolution and production. As we talk now, just within 60 seconds, there could be tens of thousands of new blog posts, millions of YouTube hours uploaded online.
Right. And it becomes overwhelming because it's
that's
like,
true.
What do you do? So I know I try to encourage people to use parental controls whenever possible, especially when the kids are younger. I did that with my kids. They didn't like it. My wife sometimes thwarted my attempts because the kids would plead to her, can I please play for another hour? You know, when I put the timer on that after so many hours, boom, you no more. You had your allotment for the day. But, you know, then they would, you know, oh, but my friends are still on and now so-and-so just joined and now I can't talk to them. And, but, you know, it's like kids are the best persuaders. They're the greatest salesmen, right? We forget that. You know, people say, I can't sell. I'm not a salesman. Baloney. Every single kid is the best salesman in the world when they want something, right? Whether it's
That's
an ice
right.
cream cone or to stay up late or go see a movie or whatever happens to be, they will beg and plead and sell using every possible measure at their disposal, and they get very, you know, good at it because they, that's what they're trying to do, right? So they try to circumvent that. Now, the, you know, so I mean, putting those restrictions on is definitely a good step, whether you're putting in certain keywords into a filter on the router. You can do that at the computer level too, where, you know, if a kid is just, you know, getting curious and they start searching for something, whatever it happens to be, you want it to be blocked. You don't want them to get access to certain information. Now, out of the home, when they're on their friend's Wi-Fi at their buddy's house, or when they are, you know, not, again, within the confines of the controlled environment that you can provide as a parent, then it's a little more dicey because we don't know what they're exposed to. And of course, other kids' homes may not have those safeguards in place. And so, gee, why do you always want to go to you know, little Mikey's house? Well, because he's got unrestricted internet. We can look up all kinds of stuff, right? I mean, who knows? So it's as parents, it's our responsibility to do whatever we can and to educate ourselves because it's tough to stay on top of technology. I mean, even me being an IT consultant, it's if I don't stay on top of it, I would be left behind quickly because the pace of technology just advances so rapidly. And it's so important because the tech now is in these kids' hands from the time they can hold a phone, right? I mean, you see them at 2, 3, 4 years old. These kids know how to navigate videos. They know how to click on the next video. They know how to find things. It's amazing to me to see the age that these kids start. And I pulled up for those that are watching this on YouTube, or if not, go to the website, but you have the breakdown here of the children and their, you know, digital journey, their, you know, the beginnings of their digital footprint online. And it's staggering when you look at some of these statistics, because according to what you've got listed here, which is sourced by Digital Day, 16% of kids 3 to 4 years of age have their own tablet. 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds. I mean, most adults didn't get their own tablet till the last, you know, 8 or 10 years ago, right? And then between 5 and 15, it skyrockets to almost half, 44% of these kids have their own tablet. And then, I mean, geez, 8 to 11, a third of them have their own smartphone, you know, because it's like, oh, my friend at school has a smartphone. I want a smartphone. Why can't I have a smartphone? You know, it's almost like a status symbol, but you're going to get left behind if you don't have it because they're all using Instagram and Snapchat and they're using all of these apps to stay in touch. And it's mind-blowing.
Yeah, it's true. And these stats are from 2016. They're updated stats that show that these percentages have certainly grown. Pete, I wanted to mention something or tag on to what you said earlier, that it's hard to stay on top of where, you know, where our kids are, but that's precisely where we need to be. So you asked me earlier, how can families make the internet a safer place for their kids? The second thing I would say would be where your children are. That awareness is so important because then you speak from a voice of authority, of knowing, rather than saying, well, you shouldn't be on that. And you have no reasoning behind that. But if you are where your children are, upload the app with them. When you give them permission, and it should be you giving permission rather than them simply downloading the app on their own.
Right.
I realize there are different parenting styles out there. But personally, I think a no is quite powerful because once you give a privilege to a child, it's hard to take that away from them. And again,
absolutely,
putting this Ferrari of a phone in their hands, who would want to take a Ferrari taken away from them?
Right.
When I allow one of my children to download another app, my daughter, who's 11, she's been asking me to get onto TikTok for a couple years. This year I said, finally, okay, let's check.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
It out, but I'm going to create your account. We're going to create a fake email address and let's see what happens over the next 2 weeks. It was a private account. I checked out what she was doing. We'd sit down together. And then, I don't know, after day three or four, a couple of people asked to follow her on a public account. I'm sorry, in a private account. Mm-hmm. And I asked her, do you know these people? No, I don't. Well, I don't feel very comfortable with this. If this is private, they shouldn't be able to see you.
Right.
And over those 2 weeks, different things happened that just didn't seem right. And so we took her off of it, and she was sad, but she understood it. So in having that conversation first, setting the ground rules, and then being where they are, that really gives you a stronger voice of reason and of authority, that you know what you're talking about.
And doing it with the child, I think, is very smart.
Because
most parents would be like,
totally.
Yeah, okay, we'll let you, you know, go on it and maybe we'll take a look at it later. And they're not, you know, maybe taking those few extra minutes over the course of a few weeks or a couple weeks or a few days or whatever it happens to be to see exactly how some of these apps and these media networks work, because they are building profiles of you and selling that data to advertising. I mean, advertisers, and that's exactly what they're doing to try to, you know, get in front of whatever demographic the advertisers are looking for. And I mean, another stat that's on your website is staggering to me, because I knew it was high, but man, this is really high. And that is that kids between the ages of 5 and 7 years old are averaging 4.5 hours a day in front of screens. And then it jumps, you know, up to, you know, the tweens, 8 to 12, is up to 6 hours a day. And then teens, 9 hours a day connected. You know, we wonder why these kids are walking around with all these kids have glasses. It's because, you know, they're on their phones like this all the time. The screen's here.
They're not letting their eyes focus into the distance. And over a course of time, your eyes are going to get worse. The muscles in your eyes are going to weaken, and they're no longer going to be able to focus. And the solution is, oh, I guess you need glasses. Well, you probably wouldn't have needed glasses. I'm not saying everybody, because some of it is obviously, you know, because of genetics, et cetera. But, and this is a big but, I guarantee a lot of the kids that are wearing glasses, most of them have been on that phone for years, stuck in the middle of their face and not letting their eyes refocus on distant objects. And I tell people all the time, you got to look up. Even if you're just doing computer work, every 15 or 20 minutes, you need to look up and refocus your eyes on an object at least about 100 feet away. And that lets your eyes relax. And when your eyes relax, they can see further. So when they're looking close, the eye muscles all contract. They contract, they contract, they contract. If they never get a chance to relax, they're going to stay like that. And I mean, I'm no eye doctor, but I've done research on it. And guess what? I'm almost 50 years old. I've been doing IT and embedded computers since I've been a teenager, because that's back when they kind of started. And knock on wood, I don't need glasses. Now, I'm not saying that it's all because I'm always looking up from technology, but I do what I can based on the knowledge that I've gained to try to keep myself healthy. And that's just one way that we can do it as people that spend a ton of time in front of screens, whether it's our computers or our tablets or our laptops or our phones. We've got to give our eyes a break, right? And it's just a health thing.
Well, that's true. And there is that physical aspect. Having your eyes fixated on one thing for 9 hours a day.
It's not good.
Like 6 hours a day. And five years old, it's 5 to 7, 4.5 hours. That's a lot of hours in the course of a day.
Oh, yeah.
Consider how many hours are in school, the time between transport to and from school. And then what do? They just connect. Aside from the physical impact on eyesight, there's also the impact on their awareness of what's around them and being connected with the world, seeing a tree in front of themselves or just realizing there's a person next to them,
right.
Not bumping into a pole as they're walking. It happens.
People are very disconnected.
Yes.
They're focused on what's in front of them and not paying attention. And this gets into all kinds of safety issues that I've gone into quite a bit in the past and other shows, but it's so true because you've got to pay attention to what's around you for a lot of different reasons, right? Just like you said, just walking into something, but then God forbid there's a predator around. And so there are apps that, you know, parents need to know about. There are trends that parents need to know about. What are some of those things that you talk about and that Custodio is, you know, trying to build awareness for in terms of what trends and apps that are out there that parents really need to be aware of?
Sure. We have over 2 million users, so we have insights into where children are spending most of their time. And as you might guess, those are the big four: YouTube, Instagram, Snapchat, and TikTok. Mm-hmm. There's a close fifth, which is Netflix, but these top four appear in all age groups. And what are the characteristics of these different types of apps? First of all, it's a connectivity with other people. There are hashtags that are within these apps. But the other thing is that these apps, I think you mentioned this earlier, they do learn your behavior. There are algorithms that follow what you're searching, what you've watched, what your tastes are, what you're attracted to. And based on that, they are serving more of that information to you, more of that that content that makes it more addictive. So you just don't want to put that thing down, and you just want more and more and more. And
you all got caught down the rabbit hole, right? You see an ad for a video and you go, oh, that looks interesting. You click on that. And next thing there's another one and another one, another, and you go, wait a minute, what happened to the last half hour? I got to get back to work, right?
Yeah, that's true. And on average on each of these, a child is spending at least an hour a day. But that's, if we take an hour a day on each of these, is that 4 hours then just dedicated to what's addictive, where social media is, where they're constantly in contact with people they may know or may not know. But going back to this trend around TikTok, for example, the clips are about 15 seconds each. Now, if we calculate what that is in the time spent on this specific app, that's on average, our users are spending an hour. That's 240 clips a day. So obviously that does contribute to what's addictive, to the desire for on-demand entertainment, difficulty to focus on anything because I want that to change every 15 seconds.
And we wonder why kids have trouble focusing.
Yes.
And there's so much, you know, about, you know, with problems with attention deficit because the kids have no patience. They don't have the same levels of patience and that we had, you know, if they don't have, like you just said, that instant gratification, that next thing, that next new thing. I see my kids sometimes they're flying through stuff or they even have two screens going and I'm like, what are you doing? Oh, I'm watching videos here while I'm playing this game. I'm like, you know, it makes your head hurt. But these kids are growing up with it. And who knows what that's doing in terms of their brain development, you know, with all of this time and these habits that a whole generation now has that are new, that we didn't grow up with. And so it's going to be very interesting. And it's also a little scary to see how this is going to be affecting them as they become adults and, you know, get into their 30s and their 40s. You know, what sort of ramifications are the habits that they formed as children with this sort of instant gratification need for new all the time? How is that going to affect them? And I don't see it going well.
Well, I think I don't have the research on it, but if this is an instant gratification generation and this is the content that they're watching and believing and it becomes 4 hours a day of their time, how do they later on become analytical, judicious, questioning what they see?
Right.
Then their world becomes quite superficial.
And that's where I see big problem. Just exactly what you said. A lot of the things that, you know, you need, like, you know, critical thinking. You, when you're not used to sitting and thinking and analyzing and that sort of thing, it's going to be much more difficult to focus, you know?
Exactly.
And the
they
solution
have no time
is
to
not,
reflect.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it's not medication, you know, it's meditation.
Quite right.
So the some very interesting statistics here and a little bit scary too that Custodio has put together, and we're going to talk a little bit about more what the company actually does and your solutions. But 34%, you know, a third roughly of middle and high school students have experienced some sort of cyberbullying. You know, cyberbullying is a big thing. It's a big problem, and it unfortunately can drive kids to do things that, as parents, gives us nightmares, you know, whether it's suicide or just depression. And I shouldn't say just depression, but obviously it's better than the alternative of taking your own life. But, you know, we don't want anybody to become depressed. We don't anyone want to be feel ridiculed or an outsider. These kids all want to feel as if they're part of something, that they're included, that they have friends and they are, you know, they want to be popular. And how do they do that? Well, maybe it's going to one of these other things, right? Like sexting. You know, they think, well, I'll be popular if I start sending, you know, content that's sexually explicit. And, you know, people think I'm cool because I'm doing that. So, you know, again, almost a third of kids are doing that. They're either sending them or they're receiving them. And then, of course, that can attract the cyber predators. You know, the people are out there lurking and they're following people that they don't know, right? Like you just were talking about your daughter's account. People are asking to follow her. She doesn't know who they are. You don't know who they are. They could be a predator. They could be a friend. But you have no idea. And that's the scariest thing with a lot of it, because how are people measured today? Unfortunately, how many followers do you have? How many people are subscribing to you?
Right.
Well, if I've got 10,000 subscribers and you've got 300 subscribers, all of a sudden, oh, I must be more of the authority. I must be more popular because all of these people are following me. You think you know those 10,000 people? No, you're probably lucky if you know 100 of them. But it doesn't matter. It's a numbers game. And so when you're accepting all of these requests from people that you don't know, just to inflate those numbers, to make you feel better, to make you feel, you know, more popular than the next person, that becomes extremely dangerous because some of those people may not have your best interests at heart. And that's where we really have to worry as parents.
That's right. So I mean, these likes and followers, is a currency of your self-worth and,
Well put. I love that. A currency of your self-worth. Perfect.
And on social media, and teenagers admit this themselves. There's a New York Times column about, it was a student, a student opinion section of New York Times, and teenagers recognize that they're faking their lives, putting the best foot forward, not putting themselves up there in the right clothes, and because of that pressure to get those likes and followers. There's a lot of jealousy and competition, envy, that is, in the end, it becomes quite counterproductive to eating into this more critical thinking generation, and it just becomes very, very superficial.
The episode I did, the last episode before this, was all about deep fakes and about how it's becoming so easy using technology, because the power of what we can hold in our hands today is amazing, that you can download apps and you can basically touch up photos and you can change appearances and you can put people's faces on other bodies and you can do all kinds of things, so that not only are you doing all of these things in the digital world, some of these things that you're looking at, or even you may be even the person doing it, are being faked. So maybe that really isn't, you know, what your body looks like, or maybe that isn't really what the clothes that you're wearing, or maybe that isn't really where you went on vacation, right? I mean, all of these things now, you start to think to yourself, is that real? And that's, you know, always it was, if you saw it, you believed it, because there it was. But now it's starting to get to the point, and I'm afraid it's going to get worse.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach. A fully integrated, one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Where we're not going to be able to trust our eyes or our ears anymore. And so the technologies out there that are creating these sort of these deep fakes, there's also technology that's being developed to try to spot them using combinations of biometrics, you know, matching a voice with a face, for example, where you've got that kind of, it's almost like it's like a two-factor biometric identity to know, hey, is this really the person that I'm seeing or not? So it's, every time you turn around, there's something new.
No, that's true. And what it contributes to is that blurring of the lines between what's real and what's not real, and the appreciation for what's offline and online. And that's what we stand for, is really dividing your time between appreciating what's around you and making your time more productive, more meaningful by connecting with a real conversation and not just within a chat from a follower that you may not know that lives who knows where, and they're following you because of that hashtag or that filter that you've put on your face where that's become acceptable in their own world to follow you. And it's, so, go ahead.
I was going to say, so tell us a little bit more about Custodio and what are the solutions that they have, and kind of, I guess, your role there. So what exactly is Custodio? Because we're talking about how there's a solution here that can assist parents, you know, in keeping their children safe. Give our listeners, our viewers, sort of a high level, I guess, understanding of what it is and how it works.
Sure. You mentioned parental controls earlier. So on a more conceptual side, it really is putting the ground under children's feet, because there's so much content out there that you can drown in that. And what Custodio helps parents do is to parcel or dose the access to the content that's online as your child evolves, as your child becomes more resilient, more prepared to interact and absorb the information they have online. So how does it work in a functional way? This system allows you to filter content, monitor time, and also allocate time over the course of the day, over the course of a week. And in terms of content, you can filter by category. You can, as a parent, also allocate time per app. And then at the end of a week or the end of the day, you get a daily report and you get visibility into the interaction that your child has had online. And this lends itself wow. to the conversations that you need to have with your children. So what were you doing on WhatsApp? have you made more friends on Instagram? So I see that you downloaded this new game. What do you think about it? Tell me why you're attracted to it.
So this is an app that gets downloaded onto smartphones or tablets or anything that takes an app?
That's right. So you can download the way that it works. You download this onto your desktop or a smartphone or a tablet. Then you download the app onto the device that you want to protect. And then you can manage it remotely. So you don't have to go into the child's phone in order to configure or set the rules or limits.
God forbid they hand that over to you for 2 seconds.
Yeah, well, that's all about conversations. Like, this phone is, you're borrowing this phone. This is my phone.
Yep.
I'm letting you use it for what you need. And again, it comes back to the conversation. It's not giving the privilege until it's discussed.
If I asked for one of my kids' phones for a minute to look at something, you would think I'm asking them to cut their arm off. Unbelievable. It's like, well, why? But just give me the phone. I want to look at something, whatever it happens to be.
Your car.
they don't want to hear that. It's like, again, it comes down to conversation. You have to build those ground rules in the beginning. And as they get older, they like to push back more.
Yeah, you know, I have a hub where all the recharging happens. Everything has to go here. All the tablets have to go here. At nighttime, they go here. At mealtime, they go here.
Oh, beautiful.
Nothing on the table because we need to talk to each other. No matter how painful or how banal our conversations are, we're going to sit here for an hour with no technology at the table.
Oh, you're my idol. that's very difficult to do. So kudos to you, Teresa, for being able to do that.
It has to happen.
But you know what? But you did it the right way. You started when they were young. You established those ground rules. You let them know that this is how it's going to work. If you want this device, if you want to use it, these are the ground rules. And if you don't like them, fine. You don't have to have the device.
Yeah, it's clearly talking about the need and the want. And if you're the last kid on earth that has this, well, I'm so sorry. You're going to have to suffer through that. But, you know, that's the decision that we make in this family.
So you have the app here. And obviously, as parents, we're doing this, as guardians, we're doing this to protect minors. We're doing it to protect the children. We're doing it to, you know, from themselves as much as from, you know, outsiders. But I can see some parents out there saying, I don't really know if I want to know what my kid's doing out there because it's going to upset me, or I'm going to be surprised by that, or I don't want to deal with it. So what would you say to those parents? Why should they be out there monitoring their devices and their social media? I mean, they're some of the obvious reasons, but what would you say to those parents?
Well, what I would say is that most of these parents would not do anything until it becomes a problem. So a solution like this helps you be proactive, preempt problems that could arise, and it allows a more progressive introduction to that content, whether it be good or bad. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to know, but why do you wait till it becomes a problem? I mean, I've talked to many parents and they'll say, I'm going to need that soon. Well, you need it as soon as a child is going to touch a device.
Right.
Because otherwise it becomes a problem. It becomes difficult to take that phone away from them. And then you lose complete control and credibility in front of your kids' eyes because they know much more about technology than you do. Mm-hmm. However, if you have that conversation with them as soon as you can, before you put your credit card down to buy that device for Christmas, that shiny new,
whatever it happens to be.
Yeah, put a little digital certificate in there. Hey, this is your present. Now let's talk about what this means. It's harder to parent today because the technology's everywhere. And like you said, they could be sitting next to a friend in their home where they have access, complete access to everything. But those rules are those rules and that's their culture. But when they come home, this is how it works. But at least it allows them to understand that there are limits for a reason. Even if outside of their own home, they might be exposed to something else. Hopefully they'll be a lot more, judicious, a lot more, aware of, well, this might not be the best thing I'm seeing, but I'm seeing it, but at least I know that it's right or wrong.
So from a technical standpoint, because, you know, my IT wheels are spinning.
Yes.
Does this app work within the home network, like the Wi-Fi network that you have to be connected to? Or does it also work on the device independently, regardless of what network it's attached to or the cell network?
So it works. It's multi-platform, multi-device. So it works.
So it doesn't matter if my kid's at my house, somebody else's house, Wi-Fi at their work or their job or their school or anywhere. Mm-hmm. It's going to behave according to the rules that I've set and how the device has been configured.
That's right. Because everything happens in the cloud. And so once you access your dashboard, whether it be you download the app on your smartphone or on your desktop, you can access it anywhere. And simply logging into the Custodio portal, and then you get that visibility.
Fantastic. Because, you know, I can see a lot of parents out there going, man, I wish I knew about this before I gave my kids their phone or their tablet or whatever device they're using, because it's something that it's our responsibility as parents. And I say this all the time. Our number one responsibility as parents is to keep our children safe from harm. Now, when they're born, it starts with, you know, watching everything that they pick up that they try to put in their mouth, right? Or that they, you know, make sure that they're not falling down and hurting themselves, or they're not gaining access to something that they shouldn't that can injure them. And I mean, that continues for their whole life. And I don't care if your kid's, you know, 5 months old, 5 years old, or 50 years old. As a parent, you're always looking out for the well-being and safety of your children, regardless of their age and what stage in life they are. I mean, I know that as a parent, no matter how old my kids get, I'm always going to be looking out for them and trying to keep them safe any way I can. And so having the right tools that make that job easier, especially in an environment where it's not as easily controlled, is something that is a fantastic tool that really is going to empower parents. So I'm assuming that this is also the sort of thing that could be used in a workplace environment as well, correct? Like, you don't want your employees, you know, going on YouTube when they're in the office, or is that not really, it wouldn't really work that way?
It could be used that way, for sure. But our main focus really is parents educating their children. But yeah, this can be used in that way as well within the work environment.
Okay. So parents obviously need to have that discussion or discussions with their children about the dangers that exist online. How can parents speak to their kids about that?
Yeah, that's a good question about how they can speak to them.
Without being overbearing, without being in their, you know what I mean? Because it's hard to do. And especially with, you know, teenagers who of course, think they know it all, right?
Yeah, and the first thing is, so again, it comes back to before they get it. And if they have it already, it's having the discussion, like, why do you want to get online? Why is it so important to you? What do you think you'll be doing on there? What do you think you'll be able to gain from being online? Asking them what they value out of it. I think that that could be an extremely enriching conversation that could then develop in a natural way, asking it from their perspective first and then turning around to understand how that could be productive, how that could be beneficial, what potential dangers or risks they might come across. But gathering that information from the child themselves then gives it a more natural feeling.
That lets us kind of guide that conversation based on their responses and what they're they're looking to get out of it. That's very good.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts, CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.